Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Right now, I'm going to do the work of an evangelist, and I'm going to minister Jesus wherever this broadcast is finding you. If you're a Christian, please stay tuned today. We want you to know more and more about Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And if you're not a Christian, would you please stay tuned today? We want you to listen and hear what the Bible has to say about this wonderful, wonderful person whom we have come to love with all of our heart and all of our life because of what he has done at the cross for us. Please stay tuned today, and maybe you'll understand why that we have fallen deeply in love with Jesus Christ today. Oh, I hope this broadcast finds you well today. I hope that you will take hold of the faith and hope and joy that is to be obtained through the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in these troubled times. Amen. I'm so glad to be a part of the broadcast ministry here on WMAF, and we are so glad to be part of what God is doing through this radio ministry and through this radio station. We have a website we would like to invite you to go to if you would like to download any of the sermons that are there from our live church services, or if you would like to download some of the recent Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast. They are there for free, and there's no strings attached. We would love to have you come to our website. I'm going to just tell you, if you'll type in THCOG, the letters stand for the Holy Church of God, if you'll just type in THCOG on Google, first page that comes up, you will find the Holy Church of God, Robert A. Venable, Pastor. And you go to that website, and then you can browse around, stay as long as you want, have a good time, download anything you would like. We're just so happy to have people visit us. I understand on Mother's Day that there was a 20-some-odd sermons downloaded in the U.K., and six of them were Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast. So if you're hearing this in the United Kingdom today, we are so glad that you have joined us. So glad you've discovered this radio station and discovered this broadcast through coming to WMAF. We're grateful to those of you anywhere in the world that listen to this broadcast, anywhere in the United States of America. We believe that the Word of God is more relevant now than it's ever been, and it's always been most relevant. But to the last day generation, people living under the conditions that are described prophetically as the end time, in the last times, in the last days, certain things and events would transpire, and there would be a situation and condition upon the earth where perilous times would come. You can't pick up your newspaper, you can't listen to television without clearly understanding that we are living in those exact days. Even the turning away from the faith that was once delivered to the saints is a sign that we are living in the end time, that they shall not come, the scripture said, except there come a falling away first. And then after that, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will be revealed. We're going to go to the book of Revelation today, but we're not primarily going there to try to figure out who the Antichrist is, but to absolutely declare who Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. So if you have your Bibles, you open them to the book of Revelation chapter 1. We're going to talk about seeing Jesus as you have never seen him before. Seeing Jesus as you have never seen him before. You may have read this before, and we want to take it verse by verse, and we just want you to understand that the book of Revelation is not primarily about the judgments that are coming upon the earth, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, the vile judgments that are poured out upon the earth. It's not primarily about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's not primarily about a revelation of who the Antichrist is. There's a lot of speculation about that, but what I'm going to teach today, there's no speculation whatsoever. primarily the book of Revelation is as it begins. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John. Praise God. It is a powerful, positive witness to the church that no matter what we face, in the end, we will emerge triumphant if we keep our faith and our focus on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. I remember starting a study just on the book of Revelation and some people coming, and they were very disappointed in that beginning of the study because we started talking about Jesus, amen, and they came to try to figure out who the Antichrist was. And friend, I think before we even think about trying to define the Antichrist, we need to begin to understand and define clearly our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have a clear revelation of Jesus, then you don't have to fear any of those other things. It will take the fear and the foreboding atmosphere out of the book of Revelation. You'll read it as a book of victory and triumph for all those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And friend, if you don't know Him today, before this broadcast is over, you can trust Him and you won't have to fear what's coming upon the earth. You'll actually begin to get excited and filled with anticipation about who's coming to the earth. Jesus is coming very, very soon. Let's read this, seeing Jesus as you've never seen Him before, the Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 through 18, once again for our text. John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His hair and his head were white like wool, and white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." John was seeing Jesus like he had never seen him before. Maybe the Apostle Paul got a glimpse of this glorified Christ on the road to Damascus because part of the description John is giving, Paul gave, he said, "I saw a light shining brighter than the noonday sun." And the Bible said his countenance here in the book of Revelation was like the sun that shineth in his strength. Amen. So the Bible said, number one, and we talked about it last week, that he was someone like the Son of Man. Someone like the Son of Man. Son of Man means Jesus is a human being, as God intended human beings to be when he created them. The description tells us that even though we're going to see Jesus differently than we've ever seen him before, his godness, he is still the man, Jesus. That means that he is still our high priest. He identifies with us because he was tempted just like we are. He is still human as well as God. So he can bridge the gap between God and man as our intercessor. And we talked about that last week, but let's go to the second thing that was so striking that John saw in when he saw Jesus glorified, the Jesus, my friend, that is coming back to judge this earth and the coming back for his church. Listen, he saw him as one having a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Dressed in a robe literally reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. The golden sash and the robe symbolized two offices, high priest and king. The phenomenon was written about by King David when he referred to a kind of a mystical man in the Bible, but he really referred prophetically to the Messiah being like Melchizedek. In Psalm 110 in verse 4, it says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Melchizedek was a man who lived during the time of Abraham. He was unique in that not only did he do intercessory functions for his people, but that he was the king of his people as well. That means he was a kingly high priest who could sit in judgment of his people, rule his people, and intercede for his people all at the same time. That is exactly what Jesus is doing for human beings right now. He judges our obedience and disobedience. He rules as Lord of our lives, and we live in the kingdom of God. And he bridges the gap between a holy God and sinful man, in order to bring them together into a relationship of father and child. He is our judge, as well as our intercessor, our king, and our advocate, our Lord, and our Savior. Christ is now our judge king. His robes are righteous. He's worthy to judge the church and the world. But friend, the judgment doesn't begin with the world. The judgment begins at the church, according to 1 Peter 4:17-18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Folks, I'm telling you, amen. One of the aspects that have been left out concerning Jesus is that he is a judge and he's coming to judge the quick and the dead, according to the scripture. You know, there's the judgment of the unjust and there's the judgment of those who are saved. There's a judgment that takes place in heaven where we will be rewarded or we will be ashamed. And there's a judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment, where the sea gives up her dead and all that have ever lived since Adam will stand that judgment if you're not saved. All those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will have to stand that judgment. And it is a fearful thing, a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God, the scripture said. One of the messages we don't hear today is the message of judgment to come. And yet judgment is surely going to come. But it doesn't start with the world, friend. It starts with the church. And that's why God wants to send a cleansing anointing to the church, his people, that he might present us unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we might be holy. I believe that we are clean through the word that he brings to us. Some sermons I preach are strong in terms of calling us to holiness and righteousness, calling us to a heart cleansing event in our life where we allow God to become our sovereign king and Jesus to become our absolute Lord. And we submit ourselves, therefore, to his word, that cleansing agent that has the power to present us clean before the Lord. Amen. You know, the Bible said that he cleanses this church by the washing of water, by the word. Amen. And so sometimes the word has to be very, very strong because we live in a very dirty world. And it's so easy to become polluted by it. But I'm telling you, if you let yourself and allow yourself to be exposed to the Word of God, it won't hurt you. It won't harm you. However, it will expose that needs to be put under the blood of Jesus in our life. And friend of mine, when the Church of Jesus Christ embraces the message of repentance and allows that cleansing to take place, oh, when we pray the prayer of David, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew in me a right spirit, wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Oh, there should be a cry from every child of God today to be sanctified, cleansed, and set apart for a holy purpose. We serve a holy God, and He's calling us to be a holy people. That doesn't mean sinlessly perfect, but it means to be perfect in our attitude, that we literally bow to no other. We submit ourselves to our God and to His Word, praise God. Amen. And the result of that is, as Jesus put it in John's Gospel, chapter 15, now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. God's word given and received will bring cleansing to our hearts and to our lives. And what a wonderful feeling it is to go into the presence of God, knowing that we have repented of our sin, we have allowed Him to search us. If we found something unclean, we ask His grace and mercy and strength and help to overcome it, that we might stand before Him in a condition that He can accept, and that we might embrace Him and He might manifest Himself to us. Oh, friend of mine, there's nothing wrong with getting right with God today. Amen. Jesus is absolutely sending His word to cleanse His people, prepare us for His coming. And I, for one, want to be under ministries that preach the unadulterated word of God, the unedited word of God. I want my heart to stay challenged and changed, and I want my life to be cleansed, because you can't live in a world like this without coming to God and opening up to Him for that wonderful cleansing to take place. I believe with all of my heart that every fruit-bearing branch should be subject to purging, so that we might become even more fruitful, according to John 15. Well, let's get back to these attributes of Jesus. Verse 14 said his head and His hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His head and hair were white like wool, white as snow. This means Jesus, since He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, has now taken on the characteristics of God, the ever-living One, God the Almighty. He is now the Ancient of Days, as Daniel calls Him in the book of Daniel, chapter 7. As God Almighty, Jesus has been given the authority to walk among the churches, the lampstands, the candlesticks, and judge them according to His purity and His righteousness and His wisdom as very God. His eyes, according to verse 15, were as a flame of fire, His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His eyes were like blazing fire, His feet like bronze glowing in a furnace. The eyes of blazing fire means He looks right through you, and He sees us as we are. He sees the truth about all of us. You could fool some people, someone said, some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Well, I'm going to add something to that. You can't fool God any of the time. The Bible said there is nothing hid from the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. Nothing hid. He is a judge that is so righteous because He looks to the intents of the heart, not just the pretense that may be put forth in the life. That's why it's so important to be transparent and honest before the Lord. He already knows us, and the incredible thing about a God with this kind of knowledge of us, He loves us. In spite of our weaknesses, our fallacies, our faults, our failures, our sins, He loves us. He wants to cleanse us. If you don't know him today, make no mistake about it. The mission of Jesus to this world, who knows every sin you've ever committed, amen, every omission, every commission, he knows them all together. But make no mistake about it. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn it. I came that the world might be saved. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Aren't you glad today that this God who knows everything about you loves you enough to give his son to die in your place? Knowing every sin we've ever committed, but yet loving with such passion and such compassion that he would give himself on the cross to save you and to save me. So when we talk about the judgment to come, we want you to know that God doesn't want you to be judged in that final great white throne judgment. He's calling everyone who will listen to salvation. That's why I am so glad to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the greatest news ever announced, that God loves sinners and sinful men and women. They criticized Jesus because he ate with the publicans and sinners. I didn't say Republicans, I said publicans. These were Jewish men that had absolutely become tax collectors for Caesar, and they were hated by the people. They saw them as treasonous men and turncoats and willing to sell out their people and their heritage and legacy just to make a profit. And yet Jesus said to Zacchaeus, who was one such man. Zacchaeus was a little short man according to the scripture, and he climbed up in a tree to hear Jesus teach. And Jesus, looking up in that tree and seeing him and looking into his heart, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to eat at your house today. He must have really taken those people back, because this is the man that had taxed them, had taken many of their homes from them and left them homeless on the street for his own personal gain. But after this encounter with Jesus, after he came and brought him a message of forgiveness and salvation, Zacchaeus was so changed after that encounter with Jesus, that one meal at Zacchaeus' home. His repentance was so complete. He said, I'm going to restore everything that I have taken from anyone. And I'm not only going to do that, but I'm going to do it with interest. I'm going to restore it fourfold. In other words, I've taken your money. I've made personal investments. I've made money off the money that I have defrauded you out of. And now I'm going to return your money with interest on it. The one who defrauded you, am now going to become your personal investment representative. And I'm going to give you fourfold anything you lost. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't come to condemn that man. He stood condemned already. He came to seek him. He came to save him. And Jesus showed up at his house, and they really laid it on Jesus for doing that, saying, this man's supposed to be holy. There he is over there having lunch with that guy. Well, I'm telling you, when that guy restored fourfold, I bet they were really glad that Jesus sought him out. Oh, friend of mine, Jesus may be seeking you out today. You may feel so unworthy of God giving you any grace or any mercy, but you need to understand that is his primary mission to this earth, was to seek and to save all of us who were lost, all of us who Satan had taken captive. The Bible said the God of this world has blinded the minds of men, lest we would see the glory of the gospel and be saved. And friends, something happens when the gospel of Jesus Christ is declared in power and truth. And that is that we are absolutely able to see the scales fall off those blinded eyes. Don't let the enemy of your soul for 1 minute convince you that you are not worthy of saving, or that God hates you and wouldn't have you. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Christ's mission to this world then primarily was not to judge this world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen to this scripture. First scripture I ever learned in Sunday school, John 3:16. As I said Sunday morning in our service, the most preached scripture concerning salvation out of all of the Bible, more people have reported statistically coming to Christ because of this scripture preached and explained than any verse in all of the Bible. It's one of the most simplistic and yet profound and the most powerful scriptures in all of the Word of God concerning salvation. For God so loved the world, this world, our world, this fallen world, this sinful, blasphemous, hateful, mean, murderous world, that He would give His only begotten Son. And here's where you and I come in. Here's where there is no exemption and no exception, that whosoever might believe upon Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, that includes you today. That included me many, many years ago when a sinner, a vile sinner like me, came to Jesus, confessed my sin, repented of my sin, and asked Jesus into my heart and life as my personal Savior. And oh, did He come, and oh, did He save me and change me from the inside out. What a Savior, what a mighty Savior. These eyes were not just able to see through all of our defenses and see us as we are, but also as judge. His eyes as a flame of fire means righteous indignation. God has every right to judge this world that has rejected Him and His Son. The Bible said, "How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this?" Friends, you're going to meet Jesus Christ. You can meet Him as your Savior and look into the eyes of love like the universe has never known. And you can melt in His arms when you get to heaven. Or else you can meet Him as the God that you have rejected, as the Christ that you have refused, and meet Him as your judge. Oh, I pray today that you will open your heart, because how He wants to save you. The scripture said it's not His will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. Don't try to tell Him you're a good person. Don't try to fake that you never do anything wrong or impure. Don't try to hold up the filthy rags of your best works and expect them to be pure enough to be accepted by a complete and holy God. Jesus will see right through all of our motives, our values, and our secrets. His eyes can burn a hole right through us, right down to our very soul. The Bible said in Hebrews 4:13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him of whom we have to do." Listen, the God that knows you like no one else knows you, loves you like no one else loves you. This is the incredible message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone has said man needs to be loved the most when he deserves it the least. And only God can fulfill this incredible need. Oh, how He loves you and me today. And friend, oh, how He wants to save us and forgive us. But make no mistake about it, there is a judgment to come. And God wants you to know that He has sent His Son so that you don't have to fear that day. The day of the Lord that burns like an oven, you don't have to fear that. Today, you can bow before Him right where you are. And you can say, "Jesus, I've sinned against you." I'm not telling you something you don't know. I'm telling you what you already know. And I'm sorry, deeply sorry. And I can't change myself, but the Bible says that you can change me. And Lord Jesus Christ, I want the change to come. If you're a Christian today and you picked up the pollution from a fallen world that's getting dirtier by the day, you can't hardly watch a movie, you can't hardly turn on television, you can't hardly listen to music anymore without hearing things that can begin to pollute you. But you want to be clean. You want the Word of God to wash it away. You want to repent of whatever you know is wrong and have the blood of Jesus applied, that great cleansing agent. Ah, friend, you can bow before Him today. Let's get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. As I said before, if you don't know Him today, would you just open your heart to Him? Invite Him in, ask Him to forgive your sin right now, wherever you are. Oh, what a joy it will be to meet you in heaven. If I never see you here upon the earth, to meet you in heaven and have you say, "Preacher, today I want to tell you something. You were preaching one day on radio and I heard the call of God, not just you make an altar call. I heard God speak to me and I gave my heart to Jesus." Ah, friend of mine, there would be nothing more wonderful in all of the world to me than to know that we've made that kind of difference. So why don't you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.